Turn to 2 Timothy. I made mention Wednesday night, and I'll say it again here. A lot of the things that we cover here at church are things that are not going to help you get through your 40-hour or however many hour work week that you have in the sense of helping you at work. It's not going to help you tolerate the problems in your family in the sense of like making them go away. It's not going to help your car run better. It's not going to do your yard work for you. It's not going to do any worldly things for you. But what this does, it first of all secures your salvation in that you know something about your salvation. Secondly, it educates you in God's Word so that you can walk around with the wisdom of God in your life and the hope of eternal life, knowing that you're going to leave out of this filthy world we're living in and go be with the Lord. Now, there are some truths in this book that continue to unfold themselves in the book. Now, I know that doesn't make a lot of sense saying it here now, but hopefully I can convey this message where you understand what I'm talking about. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, Paul says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Preach the word is what Paul tells Timothy. And there is sound doctrine involved in the word. You're in 2 Timothy, look in chapter 1. In 2 Timothy, go over to chapter 1. He says in 2 Timothy 1 verse 13, hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Sound words. So preach the word. Why? They're sound words. But not just that. Turn to 1 Timothy and look in chapter 6. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, go down to verse 3. He says, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, and he goes on and on. In verse 3, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words. That word wholesome has the definition of being healthy or uncorrupt. Healthy words. Well, folks, we got a book that God wrote for us, and if we rightly divide the word of truth, this is a book of health to us. Not physical. There's a lot of churches right now you could go attend, and they're talking about physically healing that ailing body, and they can't do it. But I can tell you this, the spirit of man that's in everybody here today can be healthy by hearing the sound words, the wholesome words of the Lord Jesus Christ by rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, there are things in the Bible that have been and still are a source of contention relative to misunderstanding. We're going to go to one of those passages of Scripture, and that's going to be sort of the context of the message today. But I want you to understand, it's all based on wholesome words, healthy words, and we're going to see that later on. Turn to 1 Corinthians and look in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, this is, people give titles and they call this the charity chapter, which is probably a truth to that. But nonetheless, he goes on into some things here in verse 8, 1 Corinthians 13, 8. He says, charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Now, part of the contention here lies in, you kind of start in verse 9 where he says, for we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away with. And there is a conclusion by many that that which is perfect is come is the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm going to say it straight up right here, right now. I do not believe that's what he's talking about. I do not believe it's the return of the Lord. I believe it goes further and deeper than that. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. Did you know to know something is to have knowledge of it? For we know in part. Then they had knowledge in part. Now, in your Bible, we always use the board here, the beginning of Christ's ministry to his death, his burial, his resurrection. We're going to come out here. This is a line marks Acts chapter 9. Paul begins his ministry. Paul's epistles can be divided up. You can take 1st and 2nd Corinthians here, Galatians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. There are a set of epistles that are written. Romans, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. Those epistles are Jewish dominated in their theme. They're Jewish dominated in their theme. You go through those epistles and you'll see things concerning the law. You don't know about the law. You'll see things pertaining to holy days. You'll see things related to dietary constraints. All of that is found in Romans, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, 1st, 2nd Thessalonians. Paul says, for we know in part. So then, we read that in 1st Corinthians, right? So, we're just going to go, no, in part. He wrote that in 1st Corinthians. Now, I got to explain something here. You guys are sitting there with a completed book in your lap. Let's go back. Not last Sunday, not last month, or last year. Let's get in the time machine. Let's go back to the days of Paul. Now get your mind focused in on that. No computers, no cell phones, no texting, no television. This man, in order to preach the risen Jesus Christ, Paul had the benefit of some Old Testament writings back here that he could utilize here to prove that Jesus Christ was the one written about back here that died for your sins according to the, that he was buried and raised again the third day according to the, so he had some scripture back here that he could use in the Old Testament at this point in time. Also, because of the uniqueness of his ministry, because it's not after Peter, it's not kingdom on this earth, it's the body of Christ, he prophesied the word of God. When Paul got to Corinth, this is what he did not say. Hello, Corinthians, good to see you. Open your Bibles. Are we talking real time now? I can tell you open your Bibles and we can read it. He couldn't do that. They had Old Testament writings, the law of Moses, the prophets. But folks, he didn't get there and say, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and let's read verse 8. So then, as he is there at that time, him and other men would speak to the congregations that got saved and would prophesy. Why? Because they couldn't do like us and go, well, in 1 Corinthians says this. Oh, by the way, turn to 2 Corinthians. Look in Galatians. They could not do that. We can do that now. Therefore, everything they covered, They had knowledge of it, but it was in part. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. So then Paul begins a ministry proving that the writings of the Old Testament that foretold the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, which a very good one is Isaiah 53. We won't turn there, but that's a very good one. That was the Christ that he's preaching about here. But you know what was not in the Old Testament writings? Now come on, folks. I don't know what you're doing today. Leave it there and join me here. Okay? Clear your minds. You know what wasn't back here? That God would seal believers until the day of redemption. That wasn't back there. That God, by the Spirit, would baptize those that believe into one body. That wasn't back there. But it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So where would Paul get that information? He would prophesy by the wisdom of God given unto him. He wouldn't tell the Corinthians when he got there, turn to 1 Corinthians, because he hadn't written an epistle. I can tell you that. Look, guys, I'm trying to bring you back in the day of Paul. You've got to understand that. He didn't tell the Corinthians, all right, guys, turn to 2 Corinthians. I want to show you something. It wasn't there. He had not written the second book of Corinthians. We just read 1 Corinthians. It wasn't like they had, well, there's a second epistle. It hadn't been written yet. All of this was done in part. But they had knowledge of everything here. It was just in part. It was just in part. Now, there's something interesting because that isn't all Paul wrote. This thing is going to end with the rapture, as we're all familiar with, or should be. If you're saved and you're not, you're missing out something. All right. So then, he's just going to squiggle a line just to differentiate the start of the body of Christ and the end. Just squiggle a line here. Over here, you've got Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st and 2nd Timothy. You know, it's a lot easier to sit out there and tell me what to write than it is to be up here and write this stuff. Titus and Philemon. That is a whole different bunch that he's writing there. Now, all of that said, turn to Colossians chapter 1. Wholesome words. It's not till you get to this segment that he writes something that we're fixing to read that's hugely, very important. Colossians chapter 1, verse 24. Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is a church, whereof I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, watch this, to fulfill the word of God. To fulfill the word of God. In other words, the finished writings over here and the last epistle was fulfilling the word of God. And ever since the fulfillment of the word of God, you hadn't had a need for anybody to prophesy. All these churches talking about so-and-so got up there and was filled with the Holy Ghost and began prophesying. It's a lie. Paul fulfilled the word of God. Now, there's some things interesting about that. Remember here? For we know in part, they had knowledge. It was just in part. You come over here, the word of God is fulfilled. Now watch what he writes about knowledge. Turn over to Philippians. Hang a left there. Go to Philippians and look in chapter 3. In Philippians chapter 3. By the way, Philippians falls on this side of the ledger. In Philippians chapter 3, look in verse 7. He says, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless. And I count all things but loss, watch this, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Verse 8, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. And don't think for a moment it was a mistake of God putting the word excellency in before knowledge. Your book isn't written by happenstance. There's a reason why every word appears in this book. There is a reason why Paul wrote the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Did you know the word excellency or excellent means superior, supreme, surpassing greatness? You question me, that's fine. You get your Greek concordance, go look the word up, because that's where I got it from. That word in the Greek, when those Philippians read that thing, they saw, I count all things for loss, but loss for the supreme, the surpassing, the greatness of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Now wait a second. That surpassed? That supreme? Its greatness? Why is it? Because it's knowledge that is not in part anymore. Why? He fulfilled the word of God. And there's something that is supreme about it. There's some greatness about it. And if a man doesn't rightly divide the word of truth, you'll never see it and know it. It'll be hidden from your eyes. Matter of fact, and I'm just going to tell you this, don't turn here for time's sake, the word excellency is used different ways. One way it's used in Romans chapter 13, verse 1, as higher, to the higher powers. The excellency, the higher powers. It's also used in Philippians 2, 3, as better. The better knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord. In other words, when Paul fulfilled the word of God, there's something excellent about it. There's something supreme about it. There's something far better than the stuff he had back here that was in part. Now, with that said, and I'm going to show you what it is, I want you to get two passages of Scripture. I want you to get Titus chapter 2. Are y'all with me or no? Okay. Titus chapter 2. Hold that and then go to Romans chapter 1. And you can just fold your Bible. We're going to read Romans first. Romans 1. Now the proof in the pudding. Whatever that means. Romans 1, verse 16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it, and that's the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Well, folks, you find when Paul began his ministry, he was under a command. He was under the command to go to the Jew first, which he did. He found them conveniently located in the synagogues every Sabbath day. Therefore, every time when you see Paul in the beginning of his ministry going out city to city, he goes into the synagogue on the Sabbath day where there were Jews and Greeks in that synagogue together. So what did he do? He preached the gospel of Christ, proving that Jesus Christ was the one in the Old Testament that they were writing about, that he died for your sins according to the Scripture, that he was buried and raised again the third day according to the Scripture. And so then consequently, some Jews and some Greeks believed and came out of the synagogue and they formed churches, and it was usually in someone's home. And yet the epistles associated with the Jew first and also Greek is Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, and Thessalonians. And that's who he went to first. And so all these epistles address them. So the knowledge here is all in part. But wait, there's something that's far better. The excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus our Lord. Turn to Titus chapter 2. Now every word written in this book is important. Every word written in this book needs to be read as it says it, where it says it. Amen? All right, let's do it. Chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Well, why is that far excellent, Mark? Turn to Colossians. And I quit reading where I quit reading earlier for a purpose. Here we go. Colossians chapter 1, verse 24. We read these already, but we're going to take it just a step further. Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God. Now watch. Even the mystery, which had been hid from ages and from generations, but now, since the word of God has been fulfilled, but now is made manifest to his saints. What is the mystery? To whom God would make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Jew first and also the Greek? The Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, Gentiles, the hope of glory. He's talking about Gentiles that never would go into a synagogue here because they hated the Jews. They hated the God of the Jews. But God ultimately showed Paul that the power of salvation, which is the gospel, could go out to these Gentiles that weren't in the synagogues, wouldn't go in the synagogues. Therefore, the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. That is the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus our Lord. It exceeds that which is done in part. So now Paul knows that these Gentiles here, which is us in this room, can be saved by the same grace that these were saved, can be sealed unto the day of redemption, or of the same body, have the same hope, same forgiveness of sins, and those things were a mystery until Paul fulfilled the word of God. There are things that surpass knowledge. Therefore, we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect, the fulfillment of the word of God, is come, then those things are in part, they're done away with. Right now, you've got everything God will ever tell you written down in this book. If you're listening to some man where he's had some kind of dream or some kind of hotel visitation of Jesus Christ coming to visit him. Oh, like the one said, I was laying in my bed at the hotel room and right through the floor, right through the ceiling, Jesus Christ ascended, stood at the foot of my bed and started speaking to me. That's called illegal drugs. That's not a vision. He ain't got nothing more to say to you than what's written down in the King James Bible. You understand? You want to know something about God? It's right here. You want to know His wisdom? It's right here. You want to know His will? It's right here. It's been fulfilled. There's nothing to add to it. And the excellency is its address to you Gentiles. To you Gentiles. That's the excellency. That's what surpassed the knowledge here, because it was only in part. But he went for the excellency of Christ Jesus, my Lord. Go find that out in Baton Rouge somewhere. And a preacher that would touch it with a 10-foot Bible. They don't know it. There are things in the Old Testament that Paul could quote, and it applied here. But these Gentiles here, there's nothing that God said he would save His enemies back here. And anything that he said, if they don't bless my people, I'm going to still bless them. He said, if they don't bless the seed of Abraham, I'm going to curse them. You know what we had placed upon us before Paul brought this good news to us? We had a curse. We were without hope. We were strangers from the covenants of promise. We could not have been saved at this point in time. And Paul knew that till he got the mystery revealed to him that all can be saved through the preaching of the cross. And that includes us in here today. It's a beautiful message, folks. Come on. You got to take this thing a step further. That's why people, and I'm talking grace preachers and people, are totally confused on some of the things written in these epistles right here. They're confused about it. Did you know Paul addressed the Romans and said that you're not to eat certain things if it offends your brother? You know what the brother is? It's the Jew. So those Greeks, those Gentiles, when they had dinner on the grounds, the Greeks were bringing their pork roast and their fried bacon and their fried catfish, and the Jews were totally offended by it. So he says, don't offend your brother. Don't put a stumbling block in front of him. So they were under some dietary constraints here not to offend the Jews that were saved. You get over here, I challenge you to read the writing to Timothy. You know what he said? God has approved everything for us to eat. And folks, we do that. Amen. If we kill it, cook it, and eat it before it gets us, we eat it. He's not saying, oh, well, you better abstain from this, that, or the other. That's why in Colossians, it's so different there. Let no man judge you in meat or drink or respect of a what? A holy day. They were observing those things here, even though they were saved by the grace of God. Why? To the Jew first. They were respecting the Jews. But once those Jews believed, and then the rest didn't, God turned the salvation over to the Gentiles. And folks, it's a bunch that can eat whatever they want to eat. Amen? I probably got blood as thick as 50 weight oil right now because of it, but that's all right. When my engine stops running, I'm going to be with the Lord. That's the glory of this mystery among you Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Do you have the hope of glory? Have you trusted in Jesus Christ? Put your trust in Him, because that's the only way you're going to get out of this world. You're not going to do it by works of righteousness. You can do it by faith in the fact that He died for all your sins. He was buried and raised again the third day. And that's the good news to us. And also that's God's power that He wrought in through each believer unto salvation. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. It is that simple. Let's stand and we'll close in prayer.